my effectiveness in helping other people is always going to be reflected in how effective I am in understanding that name and the fact that there is no other name. And being able to explain it with love, with agape love, with compassion. Never with a triumphal spirit of self-righteousness or I'm better or I'm on the winning team now. My team is number one. We win every Super Bowl that we play. Because we like those songs, don't we? Jesus is my captain and he fights my battle still. He has never lost a battle and I know he ever will. That still gets my blood going, right? He's never lost a battle and I know. Because I've lost battles. How about you? Disgracefully lost battles. And I think that's okay. I think that's good. That's a hymn that builds us up. But you see, it's only because, not because I'm on the winning team, but because the love of Christ compels me, makes me humble. If it makes me prideful and triumphal over better, then I'm not going to wash feet and then share the gospel. I'm not going to feed and then share the gospel. In fact, I'll do these things kind of like duties instead of something that the Holy Spirit is doing through me. And I'll do them based on, well, I'm not really winning right now, so I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do. Anyway, back to the text right here. Peter is filled with the Spirit, and he preached his third sermon. The answer to the question, how this man was made well? Well, by Jesus Christ. He's in us through his Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, there in verse 4, it says that they were filled with the Spirit. Epletheson. It wasn't necessarily the indwelling. The apostles already had all of that in the gospel when Jesus breathed on them. It was made available when they converted the 3,000. But right here, they were moved, and all of a sudden they started speaking in languages, in known languages. And people were amazed, saying they're preaching about Jesus and about God and about the Spirit, about how awesome and powerful they are. They feel the same thing happened right here with Peter. He starts speaking. First of all, that's how awesome Jesus is, guys. He could do this. It wasn't me. It's him. It really is him. I'm not being modest right here or any kind of mock humility. It really is him. This is what Jesus does. They're going, we killed him. We had him killed. By the name of Jesus, this man is healed. That's how powerful that name is. That was last week. There's much power, unlimited power in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I like that just as a side point. I like that because, and I started changing and doing this. He says, whatever you ask for in my name, my Father will do it for you. He'll give it to you. Think about that. Whatever you ask for in my name. Now, of course, the first thing we do in the flesh, Lord, lottery, in the name of Jesus, right? Super Bowl championship, name of Jesus, right? Obedient husband, in the name of Jesus. Submissive wife, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, you know? We start asking for things that are very selfish. And that's not what he's talking about. He says, according to the will of the Father, whatever you ask in my name. So I look at things that Jesus would desire in my life, in every aspect of my life. And I started saying, you know, I got to say the words. I can't just, well, you know, the Lord, you know what I mean. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking for this. I think the Lord says, no, I need to hear you say it. And not so much keep a tab if he's answering it. Because sometimes Jesus answers, yes. Many times I think God answers yes, just not now. Well, it's been a week. And we forget that to God, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. God's going, hold your horses. It's just, you just asked. Lord, it's been a week. It's been a second in my, you know. So we got to kind of, my little grandson was crying out the other day. Get taken out of his car seat. But we're in the middle of the traffic. And he's crying out. And I thought to myself, I think we might even started talking, you know, Talia and Linda. That's how we cry out to God. Ah, ah, ah. I said, but we're saying yes. We're going to take you out. Yes, just not now. 5 more minutes, almost there, 5 more minutes. And I said, well, sometimes we're like that. And he gets taken out and immediately, quiet. His prayer was answered. His request was answered. And I think, believe that's how God is. But you see, but we've got to be able to ask in the name of Jesus. But if I don't believe that Jesus, who we claim to be, I really believe it and believe in that power and believe in the fact that there is salvation only in him and understand in the right way, in a compassionate, loving way, how to explain that to others, then I'm not going to ask in his name. I'm afraid to be let down. But ask for things, blessings that are not selfish, blessings that are just that God could use to advance his son in my life and ministry. Now, he did put it on him again. You see a similar pattern in the preaching. You're responsible for him. You crucified him. Although they didn't, they did bring him to Pilate and convince Pilate to do it. But God raised him back to life, and it's by the name of Jesus that you see this man standing before you in good health. I believe these are the things we should always share. When you're really sharing Jesus and proclaiming and teaching about Jesus, these are the things with scriptures explaining why you believe these facts. Because they do apply to everybody at one level or another. We weren't there to crucify Jesus Christ, but definitely in a spiritual sense, we could understand how our sin perhaps didn't say crucify him. Never in my life did I say crucify him, but ignoring him, neglecting him, minimizing him, misrepresenting him, being a hypocrite, whatever those are like crucifixion in God's eyes. Hebrews chapter 10 says that. When we continue to sin, even though knowing what it, he said, if Moses' people could be stoned to death on the testimony of two witnesses, how much more you or anybody who tramples underfoot the Son of God? How much more do they deserve? Wow. So there's ways to look at it, not for the purpose of making someone feel guilty. The worst Christianity I ever exhibited or I ever practiced in my life is when I did it out of guilt and out of fear. My strongest moments, and really they're the Lord's moments, they're not mine. I still try to claim them, but it's because of the love of God that I've done what I've done. Whatever it is, a peculiar, unexpected act of kindness, sharing the gospel without embarrassment or coercion, or entering into a day saying, I will be selfless. I will defeat, in the name of Jesus, I will defeat selfishness in my family, in my job, in school, in church. I will not be selfish in these arenas, Lord. Now I got to think about it throughout the day, how I am selfish, and change it. Right? He said, because he's the stone. Now remember in Mark, Jesus had taught this as well. In Mark chapter 9, remember that? He came up to him, he says, you'll see this, the stone that the builders rejected. Psalm 118 is the psalm that he's talking about, the messianic psalm. The stone which was rejected by you, the builders, has become the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone, basically the most important stone of all in the structure of God, in the temple of God, or the church of God, which is the temple nowadays. The most important one. That's what Jesus told them, and now Peter's reiterating it, saying, you killed him, but you have a chance. God loves you. He's given you another chance. He's given you an opportunity. And I think about that. When somebody finds themselves, I don't know what to do. I'm really in a mess. I've done this again. I've done that again. I just simply say what I've seen in the scripture. Well, just stop. Just stop doing it. Put the things in place that will help you to stop doing it, but just stop doing it and start praying and thanking God that he doesn't give you what your sin deserves. But don't take his grace as a license to continue doing it, because you're not hurting anybody but yourself. Many times the guilt and the shame and the fear that come from personal sin are perhaps the greater judgments than a broken leg. I've always thought that. Man, God's probably going to break my leg here. Maybe he did. I don't know. When I got injured like that, it definitely got me thinking about a whole lot more about God and start studying about what the chief cornerstone really means. And I think that's the experience, that's the journey that we have as followers of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in no one else. He is the chief cornerstone. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved. Let's back up to verse 8, though, because I like this. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, fulfilled what Jesus said would happen. You're not going to be speaking on your own, but my Father's Spirit, your Father's Spirit, will tell you what to say. And that's exactly what Peter did. We just read that. This is what he said. Now, it didn't say that the entire Sanhedrin got on their knees and said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" No, because their hearts were already hardened to that point. But ours aren't, right? So I said, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. You see, the holy apostles, they were separate from all other Christians. And of course, some of their followers, the ones that they were training and teaching, were a lot different in that God could actually speak through them. The Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not written yet. It wasn't penned when Peter was having this conversation or preaching this sermon. So the Holy Spirit was speaking right through him. And it wasn't like he went into some trance and didn't know what he was saying. I believe the Holy Spirit was taking what he had already known and witnessed and seen in Jesus Christ and all the teachings that he didn't get and started bringing them to fruition in accuracy, saying, "This is what was meant. And now this is what you say." And every time, Peter presents the Word of God. That's why it's so important to know more than this than less, in an accurate way, in the way it's supposed to be shared. Because it's amazing when you're asking God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The word for these apostles and the performers of miracles, because I do believe this is a miraculous kind of thing right here, mixed together with natural knowledge that Peter had and his own personal convictions, but definitely a transformation from the Lord. It's the word epilethason, which means miraculous. God is moving in them. He's saturating their soul and giving them the gifts that are necessary for the moment. But you know, the same word, the same actual verb for this filled with the Spirit applies to you and I as well. But not in this way. I've wondered about that. God, give me a power to have a miracle right now, to do a miracle. And it's never happened. I would do good with it, Lord. If I could just do this, this could help the person. And God never does, because that's not my role. That's not my calling. And I'd guess that's a lot of people in the first century. That wasn't their calling either. Not everybody spoke in tongues. Not in languages to convert people. Not everybody raised the dead. Not everybody. But there is an application for us. And I saw it over here in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it's the same verb. It's the same root verb as Peter being filled with the Spirit, except that doesn't have the epilethason aspect of it. And that is moved by miracles. Now, I believe miracles are possible. I believe God can still do miracles. But I've got to verify that it's a miracle, right? Someone saying, "Yeah, my foot grew 2 inches and now it's my leg, it's even with the other one." Anybody could say that. Or somebody passionate and articulate and charismatic could say, "The Spirit moved through me right now," and then jump some scriptures in here and take them off context and start influencing someone. Oh my gosh, he's fulfilling prophecy. God's Spirit is moving through him, and he's designed this entire study right here, and wow, I'm going to follow him. And then later on find out, no, it's just emotion, or maybe a psychological disorder mixed together with intelligence and ability to speak in a charismatic way. Cults are all over the place. You wonder, how in the world do they get people to, well, have you believed what you believed in the past? It's when I got away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we keep Jesus center and his teaching center of everything, because a lot of these things Jesus didn't do. He could have, but he didn't. And I think that's for a reason. But this verb in Ephesians chapter 5 beginning, in verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, actually. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be, and here's the verb, filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the reverence or in the fear of Christ. Pleroustē is the verb. Epletheson was the one that we saw back here. This is exactly the same verb, but it applies now to the common ordinary member, us, who would have been sitting in the church in Ephesus. He said, first of all, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise people. Where does wisdom come from? Real, true wisdom. Many times I see people asking, please give me wisdom. And my prayer for them would always be, please, Father, give them your wisdom. Not the world's wisdom mixed in with some of you, but your wisdom 100%, because that's the wisdom that I need. So anytime I say, pray that I have wisdom, pray that I have 100% God's wisdom, right? Because I'm up here sharing this, so please pray for that wisdom. But see, wisdom is a practical knowledge of something. Something that a person believes, something a person really trusts and loves and then lives out. That's what Jesus brought. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Boy, that's true. It's true then and it's true now. So then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now that's a mission in and of itself, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? What does God want done? Not your will, God, but not our will, but your will be done. May your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. You see, it's not a part-time thing looking at Jesus, because Jesus is the will of the Father. His teachings of the Sermon on the Mount were the will of the Father. Then he jumps in here. Don't get drunk with wine. That's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm wondering if he's referring back to 1 Corinthians 11, where the condemnation to the Corinthians was they were actually getting drunk in their worship services with the communion wine. They bring a little extra wine, and they were actually getting drunk. That's what the verse says in chapter 11. Go read the communion, the last 15 verses of chapter 11. They were actually getting sauced, dissipation. And maybe the Ephesians struggled with it too. Why would he not? Don't get drunk with wine. But he said here, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this verb is a present, imperative, passive, and plural verb. Present in the sense that it's a continuous, repeated action. God expects it to be going on all the time. Imperative is that God has given us a duty to be filled with the Spirit. But it's not something I can do. I can't get the Spirit in a bucket and pour it. Right? And I can't even take the cup. I'm being filled with the Spirit and take the bread. That's not what that means. It's no different than be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I can engage and participate in my mind being renewed by sharing the Scripture, by reading it, studying it, meditating on it, allowing it to change my way of thinking into the mind of Christ. And then here comes God's Holy Spirit transformation. It's passive. The Holy Spirit is the agent, but I'm the participant. I'm the one that says, Lord, fill me with your Spirit right now. I need some patience. No, I need it all. I need love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'd go for a little bit of that power, too, that Paul promised Timothy right there, right? Self-discipline, always. Right? Brotherly kindness, absolutely. But it's plural. He's talking to them in the sense that there's a collective component of it, that all of the Ephesians needed to be involved in this, being filled with the Spirit. But it's a responsibility of each believer to say, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. For some reason, he says wine, getting drunk with wine or any kind of alcohol, is counter to that. But I believe the evidence of that in terms of the Spirit is seen in really what he lays out right here. And he says, here's the evidence. Speaking or encouraging one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's an evidence of it, of the Holy Spirit being filled. This is what he does. This is the verb. Now, we're not supposed to do this in order to be filled with the Spirit, but this is what he does when we do this. Always giving thanks for all things. All things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a tough one right here. Be subject to one another, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Having such a relationship that there's never a one over another dynamic, because that's a setup for abuse. But it's always a win-win situation. Right, here's a scripture that's going to help you. I appreciate it. Thank you. The worldly thing to say is, how dare you try to judge me? I have the Spirit of God in me. You can't judge me. Who are you? You hardly even know your Bible. You might miss a lot of worship services. And then pretty soon we start, a category of my sins comes out, category of, you know, we have all these wrongs, and then we have what the Sanhedrin was all about. Submissive to one another means that there's a respect for one another, the same that we would have for Christ, and we listen to one another. And even if somebody has bad motives, those who are stronger should not judge the one who is weaker, just rather to be wronged. Now, there's an understanding in this, especially in Colossians. We studied that a while back, Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17, especially verse 16, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That way you can teach each other with all wisdom, the wisdom of God, because you'll understand what the will of God is. The will of God was always to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourself, love one another as he has loved us, and to be receptacles of his will, his mission, his work, his personality, his character. That's why it's so important to understand the scriptures. That's why it's so important to study them. And anytime we find that they're boring, it's our soul's problem. It's not anything else, but my soul is empty. And only I could have that desire for Jesus Christ. I only find him one place, and that's here. And when it's here, and it gets here, then I'm able to listen to the Spirit's voice and say, man, this song is good. This is a good song. He is good. 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 I know the song goes, good, good, oh, for dramatics, you know, and it kind of moves our hearts, and I'm good with that. But if you stand too close to me, you're going to hear me say, good, good, good. For me, I just don't do the oh, but I can do the good, because God is good, and he's always good. And that's why there's only salvation in the name of Jesus. And that's why we can give our lives to things like thinking and praying about those peculiar, unexpected acts of kindness every day, looking for one, praying for one. God will give it to you, and then the test will come. It happened the other day. Huge traffic over by Loma Linda, and I saw the guy. He was trying to get in, and no one was going to let him in. And it wasn't that I was getting late. I was actually had plenty of time. And I looked and I said, well, I've been asking for, here it is. And the guy was mad. He was looking like at all. And I made eye contact with him. I'm going. And he went in. He goes, oh, okay. Oh, okay, all right. And I'm feeling kind of proud, like, man, being filled with the Spirit here. Almost epilethason. And then all of a sudden, he's going slow. all the traffic ahead of me is going up. And we got the green light, and I'm saying it's a left turn, takes forever. Man, that light is green only for like 3 seconds. What's going on? Now, fat longer than that, but that's what it felt like, you know? And he was on his phone in front of me. And like 10 car spaces ahead of him, I'm going, so I sinned. You idiot. And I had to repent right there and apologize to everybody in the car. But first I apologized to God. I'm sorry, God. This is an unexpected act of kindness. I pray he didn't read my lips. Well, I don't think he did. I don't think he really cared about me behind there. Because he stood there. It seemed like he was playing a video game with his daughter. And they were just trapped. Anyway, it ended up good. I'm still saved, compelled by the love of Christ. But sometimes when you do that, you're going to be tested. And we'll fail the test. And God just says, stop. Repent. There's no other name by which you've been saved. Be filled with the Spirit. I don't think it's eliminated. I think the man was blessed. That was God blessing him. Whether he appreciated it or not, God was blessing him. Blessed me. But it's amazing how sensitive we become to it. Just a minute. Idiot. Idiot. You idiot. I'm sorry, God. Sorry, buddy. I repent. We're supposed to be doing this stuff in secret. Clearly. Have you done that this week? I'd imagine I could probably pull up a whole lot more sins. Well, maybe not a whole lot, but more. And I think that's what we got to be able to understand. Understanding what the Lord's will is. It's seen by right here. Don't be unwise, but be wise in the way that you live. Because he's the chief cornerstone. In Psalm 118, let's as we share, as we get in, move toward communion, let's go to Psalm 118. And I pray you think about that. Because I do believe it's possible. I believe the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, righteousness, and judgment right on the spot. And it wasn't like an apocalyptic kind of thing. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to hell. It was just simply, wow, Lord, this battle is real. But I believe his grace covers us immediately. Because this psalm is a psalm that people going to the temple would have sang. In fact, this was one of those ascension psalms, basically going up to the temple, moving upward to Mount Zion. And in verse 22, it says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Continue to practice the unexpected. Because I'm going to continue doing it. I've learned a lesson. Just already knowing now, okay. There may be some consequences with this unexpected kindness, but it's all good. It's all good. God never gives me what my sin deserves, or you. Even if we don't think about it all that much, we will think about it eventually. The Holy Spirit has the way, has his way of getting us to think about it. Being filled with the Spirit, man, I love singing songs of praise and worship. I would not want to not do that. It'd be very difficult for me to preach or even listen to a sermon without the praise and the worship that God gives us heading into communion. Don't you think? Because there's just something empowering about, and it's a benefit for us. I don't think God's up there going, oh, just bring it more. I need more adulation. He's got millions of angels up there. But I think he looks at us as little children. And there's a connection of love, agape. Says, guys, I love you when you don't do it, and I love you when you do it. I love it, especially when I see you growing in your love for me. When we're submissive to each other, sometimes it's just easier saying, you know what? I forgive you. And let's just start over again. Let's reset it. Let's start the reset button. Let's submit to one another out of, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to continue to be miserable. I forgive you. Honey, I forgive you. Oh, I forgave you already. I'm sorry, yes. What those three universal words, right? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Those three statements, right? Nine words. I was wrong. Please forgive me. What's the last three? Huh? I'm sorry. I am sorry, yeah. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Those are the universal words. Thank you. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And just leave it at that. Man, we just practice that right there. Submission out of one another, out of reverence for Christ, is absolutely a cinch. So, continue sharing Christ without embarrassment or coercion, and continue working on that selfishness. No selfishness in all those areas. But let's read this together. Verses beginning in verse 15 to 29, and then we'll pray and we'll share in communion. Psalm 118. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Do not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord disciplined me severely. He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I should give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's blessing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in the glad tidings. O Lord, we say, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Peace and prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he's given us life. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and pray as we move into communion. Salvation is only in Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May he shine his face on you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives in us. And Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of his body and blood that enables us and blesses us with this great gift of being filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he lives in us. And without him, as each new day starts, Father, we're empty vessels that ask for you to fill us with your good fruits by his hand and by his power. Father in heaven, that we will be wise in the way that we live, in memory and in honor of his body that was sacrificed for us. Father, that we will not get drunk on wine, but be filled with your Holy Spirit and strive each day to know what your will is, Heavenly Father. As we submit to you, may we submit to one another out of reverence for you in all ways. Father, mend whatever relationships need mending. But Father, more than anything else, we pray that you use us, Father, to be able to teach and to preach correctly of the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that blood that cleanses us continually. Father, your Holy Spirit that reminds us continually that there is no salvation at all except through Jesus Christ, and that by the power of his name, Heavenly Father, all the good things of your heart and your being flow into us. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for filling up our minds and our hearts with the knowledge and the love of your Son. May we continue to grow in him, God. We thank you for his body. We thank you for his blood. And we pray all this in his holy name. Amen.